Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, this was, verse 31 has to do with the second coming of Christ. This passage has to do with the judgment of the nations. Verse 32, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He's going to divide, and it says, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. There are sheep nations, there are goat nations. All right, how do they know? Well, look, verse 34 tells you who the kingdom, and this has to do with Him going into the kingdom now. Verse 34 tells you who the kingdom is prepared for. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, who's the kingdom prepared for? Those on his right hand. Well, who would that be? It'd be the sheep nations, wouldn't it? Wake up. The sheep nations, God prepared the kingdom for them. Well, how do they get to be sheep nations? By trusting in what Christ did for them on the cross? Verse 5. For I was a hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them. Now notice before I read any further back in verse 37, then shall the righteous, are they righteous? What makes them righteous? The same thing's going to make them be on his right hand. Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Well, who would be the brethren? Who's the Lord's brethren? He came unto his own received him not. Who is his own? Israel. Israel is the Lord's brethren. They blessed him. They blessed him. They fed him. They helped him. Where at? Well, back in the context of where at, it goes all the way back to Matthew 24. They're in the tribulation. And somebody helps those Israelites and blesses the seed of Abraham. Look back in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Did that make them righteous? Y'all afraid to say, ain't you? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out of thy kindred, a country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now watch it. A promise now, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And you have preachers all over the country, prophetic preachers, taking that verse and telling how God is going to damn America if they don't bless Israel. Don't you? Have you not heard people say that we've got to bless Israel or God's going to curse us? I have. I hear it all the time. Look in Genesis 27. Let's follow this thing just for a little bit. Genesis 27. It goes on. They pass it down in Genesis 27. Isaac, the son of Abraham. Jacob steals the birthright from Esau. You remember Esau comes in, he's about to starve to death, it feels like, and Jacob's got some lentil, the peas and stuff there, and all that stuff, and as I think about chili beans and stuff, and he's got it savory meat in there, and them chili beans in there, and it's cooking. Old Esau comes in, he said, I want some of that. He said, Jacob says, I'll give you a bowl full, but you got to give me your birthright. Now the birthright had to do with the firstborn getting the blessing. And so he gives him that, says, okay. And so then Isaac wants Esau to go out and fix him some venison or whatever, deer meat and everything. Said, I love yours. And said, you go out and you fix it. Come back in that I may bless you before I die. Rebecca hears it. And so she gets Jacob. And Jacob says, man, how can I go in there and deceive my father? So well, I'll tell you how. We'll put some skin on you and some, take some fur and put it on your hands. Esau was a hairy man. And so he goes out there. Now look what happens. Oh, Esau comes in there, verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. See, he's trying to make sure. He said, it's not Esau. He said, you have the voice of Jacob, not Esau. But Isaac was blind. He was about blind. He couldn't see. And he smelled his raiment, and he blessed him. See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field, which the Lord hath blessed. Now come down to verse 29. And let the people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it comes on, and finally, verse 36, you'll find, or verse 34, Esau comes in, and when Esau heard the words, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me, O my father. And verse 36, he said, is it not he rightly named Jacob? See, Jacob would be the type of guy that would deal from the bottom of the deck. You couldn't trust Jacob. You wouldn't want to trade pocket knives with him, or he's going to come out on top. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And verse 38 in the last sentence, and Esau lifted up his voice and wept, and he found no place of repentance. He's like the Jew that'll be in the tribulation period. He'll sell his birthright, take the mark of the beast in order to eat, buy, and sell. I mean, he's thinking about himself, and at the end, he's just damnation to himself. And there'll be no place of repentance, no matter how much he cries. That Israelite in the tribulation period, he takes the mark of the beast, because without the mark of the beast or the number of his name, you can't buy or sell. And so you gotta walk strictly by faith, and you turn your back on the Lord, take of that mark, you're gone. You sold your birthright, and there'll be no place for repentance for that Jew. Now, the point I want you to make is passes on down. Look over in Numbers. Numbers. Let's see. God. Balak is hired to curse Jacob. And so Lotus 24, Numbers 24, verse 2. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in the tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. I want you to see that. Balaam is there to curse Balak. He's the king of Moab. He brought him there to curse Israel. And the Spirit of God came upon him, Balaam. Look in verse 9. He couched, he laid down as a lion, as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Now, I read them three verses there. Whoever blessed the seed of Abraham would be blessed. Whoever cursed the seed of Abraham would be cursed, and down through the centuries, that has been so. But I want you to turn with me and look in Hosea. And I want you to see that there's something that's happened. If I ever get through it, I'm going to have to get me another Bible. My pages are so brittle, they keep breaking. All right, Hosea chapter, I'm going to just go in chapter 1. And notice in Hosea chapter 1, verse 7, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Now watch it. Then said God, call his name Lo-ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Verse 10, and yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, even when that time when Lo am I, yet the number shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. And Paul in Romans chapter 9, verses 27 and 28, he quotes that passage of Scripture. And there's a reason that he does. Then, verse 11, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, and great shall be the day in Jezreel. Now look in chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3. Verse 1. Then said the Lord. Oh, by the way, let me read chapter 2, verse 23. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. And Peter quotes that in 1 Peter chapter 2. Man, there's a reason for this. They're not my people. He sows them in the earth. Israel is sown in the earth. Remember the parable in Matthew chapter 3 that a man went and hid his treasure in the field? The field is the world. There's a treasure of God. It's His jewels that He has sown in the earth, and He knows where they're at. And He went and He sold all that He had and bought the field. Jesus Christ came and bought the world through His death. He's going after that treasure. Now watch it. Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of a friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who took other gods, and loved flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Now watch it. For the children of Israel. Now remember, people that's not my people, like in verse 3. But look in verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without a teraphim. After the many days shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days, second coming of Christ. Now, today, Israel is lo am I. Right now, Israel is doing what verse 4 says, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice. They're not offering sacrifice over there. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was their sacrifice. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They believe He was an imposter. They believe He was a good teacher, but they don't believe that He was Christ, the Son of Almighty God. They're not having a priestly ceremony today. They don't even have a temple to worship in. So they're abiding many days, and while they're abiding many days, they're sown in the earth. The true Israel is sown in all the nations around this world. Probably the majority of them over here in the United States. And you don't even know about it. But God knows about it. Now back in Matthew chapter 25, these nations are the nations that blessed the seed of Abraham. But wait a minute. Look in Ephesians, before we go there, look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, and notice in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Why did they not, these Ephesian Gentiles, why did they not have hope? They were strangers from the covenants of promise. They weren't an ally with Israel. They were aliens from Israel. The covenants of promise was, I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. These Ephesians got saved. God saved them by His grace, and they never blessed the seed of Abraham. Why? Through the fall of Israel, salvation went unto the Gentiles. Folks, all I want you to see right now is there is no Israel for you to bless. There is no Israel for the American government to bless. Now, I believe we ought to help that nation over there. If we can. I mean, you know, we want to run all over the world. I think we ought to take care of our own but before we go anywhere else. But I'd say, okay, let's help them. But not to get the blessings of God upon us. Folks, you know why God blessed this country? It's because of what Robbie said. Do you realize this country is the one that has produced and made and sent out the Word of God across this world? Until about 1900 when that famous old RSV come out. We believe it'd be a better translation. And ever since then, we've been in decline. And the further away we get from this book, the further we get away from God, the world gets worse. And this, we're living in a depraved society. We're living in a sinful, evil, hurtful, hateful world against God today. Now, back in, there is no Israel. Well, these nations was righteous and got into the kingdom because they blessed the seed of Abraham. So, Israel comes along. You have Christ. They crucify the Lord. You have John the Baptist back here. They cut his head off. And you have the 12 in here, and they're going to the nation Israel. And then you have in Acts 7, Stephen. What do they do to him? He looked at that crowd, the leader said, "You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." And they stoned him. And Israel comes along. Notice in Romans, we'll get back to Matthew. It ain't going to be that long. But look in Romans chapter. I'm just going to jump in there and look in chapter 11. Acts chapter 9. The Lord appears unto Paul. And gives him a revelation of what? It's a mystery. Never has been preached, never has been revealed. A secret. Look in Romans chapter 11, verse 10. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? Folks, their fullness don't come out over here where we're reading about it in the second coming of Christ. In the tribulation, they'll be gathered back. And they are at the second coming of Christ, and they'll be gathered in there. And they'll rule over the nations. The nations get there. But what about their fall? Well, in Acts chapter 20, Paul writes Romans. So I know by somewhere after in Acts, around Acts 19, 20, had the fall of Israel took place. Do you know where I think it took place at? I really think it took place back here at the cross. But God's Son said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I believe God Almighty let the 12 go through, but somewhere they fail. And verse 12 says, now if to follow them be the riches of the world. And what's that next word? Now when it's diminishing, what's that mean? Fading out. And by Acts 28, look in Acts 28. In Acts 28, verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, or Isaiah, the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. And that's almost like they shut them intentionally. They closed them. Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, now watch it, that the salvation of God, not just salvation, it's the salvation of God, is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Look back in Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of you, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by water baptism. Oh, that's one of them different translations. By what? The gospel. By that Christ had died for our sins, was buried, and God raised him the third day for our justification. By this good news, he would put Jews, Israelites, that was in those in the early part of Acts when Paul would go into the synagogues and he wrote books like 1 Corinthians. He wrote 1st and 2nd, I'll just put Corinthian letters. And he wrote the Thessalonian letters. He wrote Romans in there, Galatians. And then when the whole thing shut down, he writes Ephesians and Philippians and through there. And these over here that never blessed the seed of Abraham, these over here that did bless the seed of Abraham. In fact, look back in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue, so they're in the synagogue. Verse 16, then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hands, and said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Come down, he begins to preach to them. Verse 26, Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to who? What's you is the word of this salvation sent. Why? Because Paul, the new, look back in Romans now. I know I'm having you to jump around a lot. Romans chapter 11. Verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he what? Foreknew. Then there were some Israelites that was in here in the synagogues that God foreknew would hear Paul's message and believe it and be saved. And so he goes in there, and there are some Gentile proselytes that are in there that feared God, and they're in there, and God knew they would be saved or hear. And so the body of Christ begins. But bless your soul, when Israel is finally diminished, and Lord my, not my people, Paul writes to the Ephesians and said, in time past, which would be back here in the Acts period, ye were without hope and without God. Why? They wasn't in the synagogues. They was not blessing the seed of Abraham. But the message went to them, and Paul said, now, in fact, I don't want to quote it. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, verse 14, I'm sorry. For he is our peace, who hath made both. Now, if you've got both, how many you got? You got more than one, ain't you? You got two, hadn't you? Have made both one and have broken down the middle wall partition between us. You all know what that is. Acts 15, the church at Judea, the Jerusalem church, sent a epistle and told those people, Gentiles that came out of the synagogue, that you got to, now listen, well, you don't have to keep law or be circumcised, but you got to abstain from blood, things strangled and all this, and you can't eat certain things and on. Wow, those Ephesians would eat anything that didn't eat them. Now look, he said there, both one hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain. Now if you got twain, how many you got? Two, right? I'd say twain and both mean two. Don't ask me to repeat that. To make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 3, chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, and the revelation of the mystery is God would save these Gentiles that never blessed the seed of Abraham. They would have cursed the seed of Abraham. They or like you and me, and God saved them by his grace, put them in the same body with those that was in the synagogues that heard to Paul, that blessed the seed of Abraham, and he said, we're making one new man, one body. Folks, that's the mystery, and it's by the gospel. And it's a mystery that remains a mystery for the majority of denominations in this world today. This, we're living in the day of grace now. There'll be a time when this body is complete. And by the way, that's the fellowship of the mystery. You know why people today can't fellowship with other members of the body of Christ? It's because of doctrine. They're not in unity with the faith. God would have us to be in unity with the faith, in the faith. How many faiths are there? There's one Lord, one faith. God would have the whole body to believe the same thing. That's why he had one apostle and he wrote 13 books and Apostle Paul, and that's the doctrine for the body of Christ. But oh no, that takes my gold out of heaven and my water out of the baptistry. I'll not have anything to do with that. I'm going to enjoy my steeple. Flesh, religion, damning people to hell more than anything else in the world. I heard a man, and I wasn't going to say that, but I just got to. I heard a man preach this morning. Me and June sat and listened to him for 30 minutes on prayer. And I was listening to the scriptures. And then that 30 minutes, he never said one thing that was true. Oh, he quoted scripture. But not one thing was true. I tried to find some truth. I mean, we sat there and I was listening. Do you know his big deal was? If your prayers are not getting answered, it's because you got sin in your life. You got to confess your sins. You got to repent of your sins. You got to turn from your sins. You got to get clean yourself up. You got to walk right, talk right, spit white. On and on the thing goes. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's what people hear. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And you walk up to them and you say, do you know anything about the mystery? They look like and act like one of the zombies off of Walking Dead. Y'all don't watch Walking Dead, do you? Y'all don't know what y'all missing. But anyway, the mystery. And it's by the gospel. If you're saved, you're in that body. There's one faith. If you're saved, you got there the same way that anybody else got there, by the cross. All right. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for thy word that you've given us. Thank you for the time of our fellowship we have one to another. We pray, Lord, that you'll just bless each one that's come here today. We pray that you'll watch over and care for them. We ask you, Lord, that you'll just help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the body of Christ be edified, lifted up. May the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we can see the things that you would have us to see. And dear Father, I pray that you will just save those that are lost. Help them to realize that everything has been done that needed to be done. All they need to do is just believe on your Son. And Lord, we'll praise you for all that you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Shake hands with one another and you can go.